Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we will be talking of families with trisomy 21, also known as Down syndrome.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children, or maybe it's not suitable for some people's children.
It's fine for mine.
Hello, Mandy.
Hi, Kate.
It's a sunny day. It's nice to have the sun, isn't it?
It is spring.
It's spring.
We're here.
Yeah. Whether we get warm, whether we don't know, but it is officially spring.
It feels a little bit more hopeful here in Melbourne.
It does.
And remember I talked last year about the how many seasons did
that's
the Wurundjeri people say
yes, way
for
more.
Melbourne? There was like 12, wasn't there?
Yes. You're right.
I need to go back and look that up.
But, yes.
So I remember.
Yeah, it's like the end of winter, but not spring.
Yes, that's right. But it gives us hope. The wattle's out, there's blossoms.
Yes.
There's bits of greenery coming back.
Yeah, I've got crab apples out the front of my house and they're starting to bud. Like you can see the little bits of green coming on them.
Yeah, I've never actually paid so much attention. I'm like, come on.
I know, and because we're walking all the time past everybody's garden.
Oh, boy. So we are still in stage 4 lockdown here in Melbourne.
There's a slight chance when you hear this, our lockdown will look slightly different because we are recording a couple of weeks
behind.
But we will still be in some form of lockdown. We're under no illusion that this is ending
anytime soon. I've also been like, do I really want to come out of this? I'm getting used to it.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is weird. I think I don't want to go back to busy mornings.
No.
But it's inevitable. You can't have work and school without busy mornings.
No, that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Sort of got used to that.
Oh, it's so nice. I have a cup of tea in bed watching ABC News Breakfast. Me, now. Like a retired nana. It's lovely.
I just wake up to the – well, I wake up. Well, at the moment we've got kookaburras on our back deck.
Oh, cute.
So they are very loud.
Yes,
because they're nesting in our roof because we've got an old house. There's a bit of a hole. Yeah. There's a few holes, but there's a nest in there.
Oh, that's
and
gorgeous.
And so they're right there. Oh. And, yep, so at about 6, they sing to us. They're very loud.
They are very loud. We had them at our old house. But you don't have to race around when you wake up.
No,
it's amazing.
I can go back to sleep.
Yeah, or read a book or I don't know.
Yep. Not if you've got little kids but ours are a bit older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and today, exciting.
Yes.
We've got a remote listener, P, going to chat with us in Sydney.
Yes.
Yes. And would you like to introduce her, Mandy?
Well, this is someone that I have met before and I was introduced to her by beautiful Melanie Dimmitt who wrote Special and she said, you must have her on the podcast.
Yeah.
So
we do whatever Melanie says.
Yeah. So say hello and introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Inge-Lise from Norway, but I've been living here in beautiful Australia for about 20 years now. And I just think I'm so lucky to have two homes like this.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
But are your family in Norway?
They're all in Norway, yeah. They're all above the Arctic Circle in Norway. Wow. So very, very different.
Very. Yeah.
So why did you come to Australia? Did you travel or what?
I came to study. So when I turned 18, I moved to Florida. And right. I spent a year there. And I was like, oh, I need to go somewhere else where it's warm because, you know, I was absolutely, you know, damaged from spending 18 years, you know, in the frozen Arctic.
Yes.
Yeah, and I applied for universities all over the world, and I said that the first university to get back to me, that's where I'm going to go. And it happened to be Sydney Uni.
Right.
And what did you study?
I studied media and communications back then.
Yep.
And so I did my bachelor in that, and then I stayed and worked in the city, and I did a few years of, you know, going forth and back.
Yep.
And then I came back, and then, you know, that's the story of every European here in Australia, is that I met my husband at work here. And so I decided that, you know, it was a good time to stay.
Oh,
he was a
keeper. that's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah. And you get to have summer, real summer.
Exactly. Get to have summer. And then I get to have the best of two worlds because I get to go back to Norway and spend, you know, amazing winters there skiing and just, you know.
Yeah, proper beautiful Christmas wonderland.
It's exactly like that. And I know my husband would disagree. Actually, he loves it, but I did drag him, you know, up to the Arctic after our oldest daughter was born, and we lived there for 3 months, and it was a time of darkness, so pitch black for 24 hours a day. Yeah. And he was just like, you know, what is this? How do you live here?
I cannot imagine.
I know. I remember my mother-in-law was English from Wales, and her and my father-in-law, who was Australian, arrived in Adelaide on a 45-degree day on a boat. Oh. And she just said to him, this is inhumane. Why do they make people live like this? So
that's probably true.
Yeah, no air conditioning.
Oh boy!
Imagine. Oh, wow. Anyway,
let's start
with
our questions.
We've got distracted already.
That's right. We get distracted all the time. Go for it, Kate. Ask your first question.
The first question is: what is your favorite song or band or music that gets you through good times or bad times?
Oh, I actually have two, and they're quite different.
Tell us.
So I listen a lot to Norwegian music. Aww. Just because, you know, I'm living here and it makes me feel,
of course,
you know, close to
home. Oh, yes. Absolutely. So, yeah.
But they're all on Spotify and they're amazing and they sing in English. So, you know, you should jump on. But yeah, so my favorite of all times is by an artist called Moddy. And he's quite melancholic. He's a singer-songwriter and he's got a song that's called A House by the Sea. And it's all about going back to your roots. And it's just, you know, it's so beautiful that every time I hear it, I just cry. Yeah. It's one of those, you know, if you feel like crying, you put it on and you lock yourself in a room because it's so beautiful.
Especially for people who have families all around the world or don't live where they grew up.
Exactly, yeah. So that's beautiful. And then my other song will make you laugh because I think, you know, every P in lockdown in Melbourne will probably feel like that. And it's a song by, it's another Norwegian band called Madrugada. And they're kind of like a mix between Chris Isaak and Pearl Jam.
That's quite a mix.
I'm picturing that.
It's like, it's so beautiful. It's like bare bones soul and melancholic and rock. And they've got a song called Black Mambo. And they sing, and I listen to this, you know, when I'm having a rough day.
Yeah.
And I will put my girls in the, I call it pram prison. You know, I put them in double pram.
Yep.
And I just go for a run with them. And I listen to this song. And they sing like, don't let the children catch you.
That's have to put perfect. That in the show notes.
Yes, let's find that.
Yeah.
Arka will find it. She's Dutch. So she, you know, she moved
wavelength.
Here about 20 years ago too. Yeah. So she will understand.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can feel free to email them to us.
I just have to add in here.
I will. I think it's going to be your new favourite song because it's, you know.
I would like to listen to that.
Listen to it,
But I also want to say that I do love Eurovision. And last year I loved Keno and their song Spirit in the Sky. I loved that song. And they were from Norway.
I love Eurovision too. Well, I have to, you know.
You
do have to.
Spirit in the sky.
But you know which country's won the most?
Who?
Ireland.
Ireland?
Ireland's won the most Eurovisions, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
I could
that.
Be lying, but I'm really sure being Irish or Irish descent that that's the discussion that we've had.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. But still, who doesn't love it? Eurovision.
Oh, well, a lot of people don't.
Well, they just don't know it.
No, that's right. And they don't get into it. Exactly.
Yeah, if you took the time, then you would love it.
Well, last year I was cheering for Norway, I have to tell you.
Yeah, and this year we just had the movie because
yeah, that's right. Did you watch it, Ingelise, the movie?
No, I didn't actually.
You have to. It's on Netflix. Go and find it.
I've got a list. It's so long.
I know.
I've got these kids and they're like, let's watch The Wiggles.
Yes. I know. How dare they?
Really
yes. It's going to be worth it if you can carve out an evening and watch the Eurovision movie. You'll love
laugh.
It.
And laugh.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway, my question is, did you win any awards at school?
Well, both my parents are teachers.
Yeah.
But they actually sent me to school. In Norway, you start school later. So
yes.
You start when we're seven.
Yeah.
So I started school as a seven-year-old, and I still remember sitting in the classroom on the first day, and the teachers asked, you know, so what's your parents' name? And I was like, Mom and Dad.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know. And they're like, yep, but their names. And I didn't know because I had no one had told me. I thought their names were Mom and Dad.
Oh.
I know. So I was completely, you know, nobody taught me anything before I started school. I couldn't write. I couldn't read. And then, you know, now, of course, looking back, I'm super happy because my mom and dad just had the idea that, you know, you should play as a kid and you will learn everything you have to do later.
Oh, so true.
But you remember back then being like, oh my God, I go home and I'm like, Mom, Dad, what are your names?
And so much research has been done on that Norwegian model.
That's right.
And it's the best model
it's
of schooling.
It's held in high regard, isn't
and
it?
And yet we just refuse to change here in Australia.
Yeah.
But it's the same, like, you know, to your, like, with regards to rewards because they don't actually do rewards in school.
No.
So, no, I didn't win any because, you know, there aren't
any
awards to be won.
Yeah, thank God. And they don't do standardized testing for years and they have amazing educational outcomes. How about that? I remember my brother saying to me once, like, he watched, must have been a Michael Moore documentary on school.
Yep.
And he's like, right, pack up, we're going to Norway.
Wow. Now, also, you told us that you had won an award just lately. Tell the peas about this award.
Oh, my God, yes. I got some fantastic news just yesterday, actually, that I didn't even know, but we had been nominated for an award by the Smartline Mortgage Group for Local Heroes. And we actually won the award for New South Wales and ACT.
Congratulations.
Yay. And see, at this point, the P's are like,
what does she do?
We've
you
hooked
just
you
wait,
in,
P's.
Haven't we?
We've hooked you in. This woman is amazing.
Yeah, you're waiting to hear what she won it for.
So what does that mean? Is that like is that a monetary gift that you can then put back into the what are you doing?
That's right. Yeah, we won $5,000.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's incredible because it will really help us not only fill up the suitcases with love, but also, you know how, Mandu, I've been talking to you about these health professionals' guides?
Yes.
I know we're jumping the gun here. Like, no one knows what we're even talking about.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
They're used to that with us.
Yeah,
though,
we go all over the place.
Yeah. So I will now be able to put together, you know, that health professional's guide and have that professionally printed and, you know, send that and, you know, really do some good work with that.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations. Yeah, well, let's move through our questions.
Okay. So the last question is, why are you a P?
Yeah. Tell us all about it.
Why am I a P? I'm a P because almost 5 years ago, when I was in the hospital and Maya was just a couple of days old, a doctor into our room. Actually, she didn't come into the room. She brought us out of the room and she asked me if I thought Maya looked like me or Daniel. Mm. And Daniel's my husband.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, of course she does. Mm. She's like the cutest thing ever. Yes. Look at her. And, you know, I was completely, you know, fascinated.
Yeah.
And the doctor just looked at us with really, really sad eyes and she said, no, I'm sorry. She doesn't. We think she has Down syndrome.
And
I was like,
complete shock, was it?
Complete shock, yeah. We had no idea. And Maya was born, you know, it took about 2 days before this conversation took place.
Mm.
And she came into this world, you know, completely healthy.
Yeah.
She scored 10 out of 10 on the APGAR score. She was, you know, healthy as anything and just, you know, absolutely you know, this just delightful newborn.
Yes.
And we certainly didn't see any signs of anything.
Right.
Yeah. So when that doctor said that, my first thought was actually, like, I thought the doctor was crazy.
Mm. Yeah.
And then my second thought was, hold on, have you, like, what's happened here? Have you swapped my baby?
Yeah.
Are you? Is that what you're telling me? Like, is that why you're asking if she looks like me?
Oh.
So I went into a panic thinking that, you know, this was going to be one of those hospital stories where they didn't know where my baby was.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's actually a bit of a mean question to ask, I think. And I'm sure it was done with love, but a baby that has Down syndrome still looks like her siblings or
totally.
His siblings or her parents. Or my cousin has Down syndrome and she looks like her family. That's a weird question to ask.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And I think for me as well, it really made me grieve. Like, it was like a double grief because I felt like I had this beautiful baby who wasn't even going to look like me because she was so different.
Yeah.
Everyone kept, you know, throwing that word different around.
Mm.
And I was like, how am I going to be a good mom if this child is so different that she's not going to look like me, she's not going to think like me, you know? Mm. It's just different. And yeah, so I think I agree. I think it was a really, really mean and cruel way to open up the diagnosis conversation.
Yeah, so I listen to that. Any doctors that think that might be a good thing to do? Not at all.
Can you tell us a little bit about what those next couple of days felt like?
They felt, to be honest, I probably went into shock because I remember walking into this room, you know, this hospital room with these doctors, just thinking it was a completely routine, normal, like follow-up conversation just to, you know, look by your baby. And then I walked in there with a baby who was seen as, you know, amazing and healthy and beautiful and everyone said congratulations. And then when I walked out of that room, everyone was sorry and said and told me they were sorry, you know, and the focus was suddenly on all the problems and the
deficits,
issues and the challenges that she was going to have or that she may have because, you know, of course.
I know.
It's like you don't give a newborn a checklist of everything that can go wrong in life.
No,
but,
you do
know,
not.
I know that you ladies know that.
I know, but you should be full of joy that someone's had a beautiful baby girl.
Exactly, yeah. So for me it was like, it wasn't the diagnosis because I didn't really know anything about Down syndrome, but it was just how, you know, I just read the energy in the room and I read people, you know, the body language and, you know, a nurse in the corner cried.
Oh.
And so to me, that just told me that, you know, this is a disaster.
Yes.
And yeah. And for me, that's what was hard because I got so, you know, I was just broken that suddenly she had this agonizing butt attached to her life.
Yeah.
And, you know, her life hadn't even begun. And people were already sorry about it.
Yes. No. Oh, Ingelis.
I know. And then I got worried that Maya was going to feel, because Maya was there with us.
Of course.
I thought, you know, oh, my God, she's going to feel this shift in energy. She's going to feel how we went from, you know, everything being happy and now everyone's sad and it's, you know. And I just thought, yeah, so I just felt so guilty. And that guilt, you know, it followed me for years.
Yes.
It took years to get rid of it.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, and what a thing to do to a first-time mum with a beautiful baby to make them despair and feel guilty on the, you know, second day of their baby's life. I mean, I know diagnosis is important and I know it's a powerful tool, but there are ways of doing it and that was not the way.
Exactly. And it's very right, especially knowing what we all know now. You know, you look at it and you go, wow, you know, it's a new, you know, it's a different adventure.
But, yes. You know,
stability is not different. It's not bad. It's just, yeah, it's just, a, you know, it's a slightly different twist to life.
Yes, yes.
How did you go about telling all your friends and family?
I can't even remember telling my mum and dad, which is even, you know, like literally the first 5 days for me are just, they're just a blur. And I can't remember things that happened. I just remember, like I said, just the emotions. And I just remember turning into this wild beast of a mother because I just wanted to protect Maya against all of this negativity that I could feel around her. So for me it was like I think all my energy just went into making sure that she couldn't sense what was going on.
What a mother.
And then so I can't even remember telling my mom and dad. And those first conversations, I don't really know. But then I know that after, you know, like I think it was about 2 weeks later, we were just about to leave the hospital. And I actually had to call a friend to ask if we could borrow a baby chair because Maya was born 4 weeks, actually 5 weeks early.
Right.
And we weren't prepared at all. Like, you know, I left everything to the last minute like I, you know, normally do.
Yeah.
So because she came early, I was like, oh, my God, I don't have a pram. I don't have
yeah,
a
yeah, that was us too.
I didn't have anything.
Yep.
And it was freezing outside because, you know, it was like a snap autumn.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't have anything for this poor child. So I had to call a friend to ask if I could borrow a car seat. And I told her that Maya, you know, had Down syndrome. And she just went, she's like, you know, this is one of my best friends and for a very, very good reason.
Yep.
Because she just said, she was like, okay, that's fine. But tell me about her.
Aww.
I said, yeah, but didn't you hear what I said? Because everyone else had been so, you know, consumed about the diagnosis. And I was like, don't you want to know about, you know, this diagnosis? She's like, no, I don't care. Like, tell me, who is she? What is she like? What does she look like? What, you know, what does her hugs feel like? Like, she was just the best.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Well,
that's
why she's your
forever.
Friend.
Yep. That's right.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing. And so was Maya born here in Australia?
No, she was actually born in Norway.
Right.
Because I was living, yeah. So I dragged my, I shouldn't say this because he'll be like, no, I came.
Kicking and screaming down the runway.
He came like, with yeah, your very like, good came, idea.
Yeah. He's actually very good. My husband's dad is from Spain.
Right.
So he always knew what it feels like, you know, growing up with a parent who has a second home away from home.
Yes.
So he was, you know, very early on, he was very clear that he would come to Norway if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And so after a few years, we moved to Norway where we got married. And then, after about a year and a half, got pregnant with Maya.
Mm.
Yeah. And that was just amazing because we had actually been told earlier that we probably couldn't have kids.
Right.
Because I had a miscarriage at 11 weeks. And the doctors that I saw after that, you know, were telling me that, you know, it didn't look good. I probably couldn't have any other children.
Oh.
And, of course, they were wrong.
Of course.
And it turned out. So, yeah, so just about, you know, 4 months later, I got pregnant with Maya.
Oh.
And we were living and working in Oslo.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And just had one of those awesome pregnancies, to be honest, where I was just, you know, we were young and naive and we didn't know that anything could go wrong, and I was like, oh, I will read up about birth, you know, because everything happens by the book.
So
I'm saving all these books to read about birth and all that until, you know, just a week before my due date. That's when I'm gonna sit down.
And boom, she comes early. Boom.
Yes, then she came early and I was like, what is this?
Yes.
This is painful.
Yes. It changes everything. You're like, okay, right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when you left the hospital, like explain what you do now is a thing called 21 Gifts. And did that happen in Norway or did you think of it here or?
Yeah, tell us the origin of that.
Yeah, so I'll take you back then to
yep.
We were in the hospital with Maya. And, you know, as you and probably a lot of the peers listening know far too well, that diagnosis moment is often, it's often framed in such negative terms. And I just didn't know up from down. I was completely broken. Just went into shock. And then just before we left the hospital, there was a knock on the door and this amazing nurse came into our room and she gave us a red suitcase. And it was a red suitcase packed with gifts and, you know, letters from parents with children with Down syndrome in Norway.
Oh, makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
No, and I was like, why didn't you give this to me, like, you know, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Like, I have been like, And anyway, so this suitcase, it just changed everything. You know, it was the first time that I just, you know, I could see the future. I could see hope. I realized that, you know, that this negative discourse that I was presented, it wasn't true. And it just, you know, finally I saw something that hit home with my own philosophy of life. So I then loved the suitcase, you know, brought it home.
Yeah.
And then we moved here to Australia, you know, like a few years later. And I realized that, you know, while there are amazing, like there's so many amazing communities for parents with Down syndrome here in Australia.
Yes.
But I realized that there was nothing in the hospitals. And then taking my experience from Norway into it, knowing how important it is to, you know, to be presented with this suitcase, you know, at point of diagnosis. So I just started talking to all my hospital contacts, because I used to, back in the days when I, you know, when I lived in Sydney before we moved to Norway, I worked in health, in health PR.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
So I had a lot of contacts in the, you know, in the, yeah, in the health world. And I started talking to people, and I started talking to doctors and, you know, genetic counselors and everything. And they all thought it was a great idea. So I just said, okay, you know, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we did.
So when was it born? Like, when did you start?
How old was Maya when you started it?
Yeah.
So I started plotting it pretty much straight, you know, like straight after we moved
here. Yeah.
But then I just worked, you know, behind the scenes, just making sure that it was actually something that the doctors and the hospitals wanted to take on board.
Yes.
So
okay.
It was probably, yeah. So the first conversation that I had with a doctor was, you know, that's probably 2.5 years ago. And then it's taken me, so it took me to, it pretty much took me like 2 years of just planning behind the scenes, figuring out how I was going to do this, you know. And making sure, because that's the thing, you know, that we often, and I just, you know, I just shared my terrible experience in the hospital. But the thing is, most doctors and, you know, health professionals are heroes. They are just amazing. And they became health professionals to help people. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't present this as something that was like, you know, like a fix for them, because it's not, because the majority of them are just amazing.
Yes.
So I wanted to make sure that it was something that they felt, you know, they felt connected to. They felt that it helped them without pointing out, you know, any flaws. It's just, I wanted to be a joyful and happy initiative for everyone. So then, so then we started. So we planned it for about 2 years, and when I say we, I mean me and my husband. And then we launched it earlier this year.
And how did you launch it? Did you just choose one hospital, tell us all about it?
Yeah, I actually, one of my very, very close friends, Edwina, helped me. She's got, you know, she's somebody you should get on this show as well, because she's just fantastic. And she, you know, due to her own story with her son, Sebastian, had a lot of hospital connections as well. So she spoke with them and helped us get the big Sydney straight away. So, you know, Sydney Children's Hospital, Sydney Women's Royal, those kind of hospitals took it on board first. So, and we wanted to do that because we wanted to trial it. And it just went, it was literally like, I thought that this year, you know, I kind of imagined maybe getting 5 hospitals on board, and it just exploded because they, you know, did what I was hoping they would do. They loved it, and they took it on board, they made it theirs, and then literally before I knew it, we were in, you know, we're almost in 40 hospitals across Australia and New Zealand.
I just saw that on Instagram too. Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll put your Instagram in the
show
notes.
We sure will. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And it's like,
my back.
It's like, I feel like it's, you know, you know, we had the idea and we started it, but, you know, the reason this is going so well, it's because of these amazing health professionals because they have really, they just, you know, they own it now. I call them my 21 gifters.
I'm
just loving it because it makes their job even easier.
Because
nobody wants to be the person delivering a child diagnosis.
No.
You know, it, you know, it's hard for them as well.
Yeah.
And the feedback I'm getting is that, you know, they can now walk into the room with this beautiful suitcase and just have that conversation. And it just helps them to, you know, even if they don't have the words, it just shifts the focus from, you know, all those manuals of all the things that can happen.
What has been the feedback from people that have received them? Have you had feedback?
Yeah, we've had lots of feedback, and it's you know, they're all loving it, and it's
good.
Yeah, and it's very, you know, some get it, some have a prenatal diagnosis, so they do, if they're receiving it before their baby is born. Which, you know, we had a postnatal diagnosis, so I don't even know what that's like, you know, finding out beforehand. But they say that it really helped, and, you know, it's just such a joyful gift. And I've got, you know, I put together a brochure, or like a mini magazine in it, you know, with a welcome from us. But I think the main thing in there as well is I put together 10 facts about life with a little extra that no one tells you.
Right. So it's kind of what are like, your you facts? Know, tell us. What are they?
The facts, yeah. So they're everything from, you know, for example, oh my God, you put me on the spot. You know, when you go,
sorry. Okay, don't worry.
But the facts are, they're all about, for example, it's about, you know, you worry about your siblings thinking, because that's what the doctors may tell you, or, you know, if you Google, that's what you see. Mm. But there's been a lot of research done on life with Down syndrome. Mm. And what all the research has found is that families are actually happier. Not even, you know, as happy, but they're actually happier after that, you know, the introduction of a little child with Down syndrome because, you know.
They got a beautiful baby.
That's right.
Exactly. It's a beautiful baby, and it's a beautiful baby that brings perspective, that brings meaning and joy and purpose and all those things, you know. And the research done on sibling relationships is showing that, you know, not only are the siblings really proud and happy to have a sibling with Down syndrome, but they're scoring higher on, you know, emotional intelligence. Yes. You know, they're doing better in school.
Empathy,
you know, all those things.
Everything.
There's this fun theory in academia. I had no idea, you know, until I started Googling this stuff.
Yes.
Because of my health background, you know, I went deep into the academic world to research this stuff, and I found that married couple with a child with Down syndrome actually even have a lower chance of getting divorced than typical families.
Right.
I know. And these are the things, and I thought,
you don't normally hear that
when they gave me the diagnosis. Because one of the first things I said to my husband was, and he got so upset, but one of the first things I said was, you know, if you want to leave, that's fine.
Aww.
Because I just thought, with, you know, everything that was presented to us, I just thought that, you know, this is going to be a really, really hard and difficult life. And, you know, and I think, imagine if we knew, like if we all knew how much extra and specialness, you know, having a child with any disability bring.
It's
like, you know,
it's true. You don't know it till you're in it.
No,
but there's amazing things.
Yes.
Yeah. And all the other thing is that I say it to my boys, everybody finds life hard.
Mm.
Hard's not bad. Hard's just hard.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes hard is tiring and all those things, but it's not bad.
Everyone's, you know, it doesn't matter. No one has a perfect life.
No.
Even when you have the perfect life, you struggle.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and I think that's why it's so important for, you know, families like ours, that when we receive a child diagnosis, it's not framed as a disaster, because it's not. And I can't even imagine, like, I'm so sorry right now to, you know, if people are listening and they're living with a disability, because that's not, you know, it's so unfair that that's how it's phrased. And and I just think, imagine like that ripple effect of families being, you know, given a diagnosis, you know, of their babies in a more, and I'm not saying positive as in, you know, happy dappy, but just, you know, tell the whole truth.
Yeah.
Don't just focus on the challenges.
Yes.
I mean, it would have changed a lot for me.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm just thinking, we need a suitcase for everything.
Yeah, everybody needs a suitcase.
Cerebral palsy, all sorts, you know.
ASD,
you know, epilepsy, diabetes, I mean, all of them, you know. Genetic, unknown genetics, anything. I mean, this could just take off, Ingalise. It's very powerful.
Mm.
And I think, I've been talking to you, Mandy, about this this health professional's guide to talk about a child diagnosis that I'm preparing.
Yes.
And Mandy and Kate, I'm going to talk you into it as well.
Thank
you.
Give
some points for it.
Yeah, I will. You know I will.
Because I don't want, 21 Gifts to just be about Down syndrome because it's not. So, yes, the suitcase is just for that.
Yes.
But the feedback I'm getting from the health professionals is actually that it's helping them deliver any kind of diagnosis.
Yes.
So it's just like this visual, physical prompt to focus on the whole picture.
Yes.
And it's actually beautiful. You tell us what's in the suitcases. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, we'll put some photos up.
What do you put in them? How did you choose what to put in there?
Very early on when I started planning it, I was like, all the gifts, they actually should be a bit different because one of the first things that I found really difficult was that notion that, if you have a disability, that's kind of like it, you're defined by that.
Yep.
And of course we know that's not true.
Mm. Yep.
So I've made a point to make sure that all the gifts in these suitcases are slightly different from each other,
the same way
that, every child born with Down syndrome is unique with its own, with his or her unique personality and all that.
Amazing. Yeah.
So, every suitcase has like a unique twist to it, but they all have this brochure that I've put together.
Yeah.
And it includes, so it's, like I said, it's got the welcome letter for us. It's got 10 things that nobody tells you about life with a little extra. And I think one of the most powerful things there is actually the list that I compiled about all of my favorite social media communities. It's like, don't jump on Google. Just use this list.
Yes.
Go straight there. Bypass everything.
You ladies are there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You see all the research about, how parents of children with disabilities, how we feel lonely.
Yes.
And I know that I can't talk for everyone, but for me, I've actually never, if you don't think about the first few weeks in the hospital, I've actually never felt lonely.
Mm.
Like I've felt sad and all that, but I never felt lonely because I had community around me. Yep.
I think that's from the outside. I was very envious of that, thinking I didn't feel like I had anywhere to go. I didn't have anywhere because there's so many different types of cerebral palsy. There wasn't really a place that I could go to. I remember going to a walk that was run by Down Syndrome Victoria with a friend of mine because her son has Down syndrome. And I was like, I'm really jealous of you guys because you've got a great community already set. So I think that's something you do really, really well.
Yeah, me too.
And I think you guys do it so well now because now you have, you have people like, the Able Finder app.
Yes, awesome.
Hayley down in South Australia who's running Mummy Match. Like there's all these amazing communities being set up that brings parents together from across because the way that I feel it, like my best friends within this, this world, they're not even, their kids don't have Down syndrome. They have all kinds of other extra special things about them. And I think that's why I love you guys and I love all these other communities because they just bring everyone together.
Yes.
Because we're all different.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, we're parents, but, and we have children that has brought us together. But
well, we're on this road.
You still need to find your own tribe.
The road less travelled. But, but
there's
unique.
A lot of us on it.
But it's a lot of us on there in their own little unique ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a fun road.
It is, actually.
Everyone's not just zooming along going 100 kilometres an hour. I like it.
Yeah, and I didn't realise that until we moved Molly to the special school. And then I was like, oh, here's my melting pot of people.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So many differences. It was just a joy to finally felt like I belonged somewhere.
Mm.
But within that somewhere, it was so diverse.
Yeah.
So powerful, and that's that's why me personally, like I just love you guys, you ladies.
Thank you.
And And I think for a lot of people as well, it's like, you know, I'm not very active on your Hangout. You know, I'm still a member.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm not that active because I love sitting back. You know, I get nervous on big social media. Yes.
Well, that's okay. Yeah.
But I know that you're there.
Yeah.
But it's not just feeling like, you know, like we're doing Maya's, you know, those assessments you have to do before school age.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Which next Monday.
Ah.
And, you know, you know, they're just terrible.
Yes.
But this, like, and I've always dreaded it. And then when, you know, like it's coming up next week and I feel okay. And I've been wondering why I feel okay. Because really, you know, I've been dreading this day for about 4 years now.
Yes.
And I think the reason I feel okay is because I know that if I reach that to anyone, you all have my back and you know what
sure
I'm doing.
100%. Yep, we are your people.
Yep.
Yep. I could
it's
cry,
that
actually.
Power of just knowing. Yeah.
I think it's more than we ever thought we could get, Mandy and I. Not get for ourselves, but for everybody.
Oh, no, that's right.
And I remember when I used to do all those tests, Mandy was the only person I had to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and she always said to me, which you'll say to anyone else, they just show you the worst things, they don't show you the best things.
No.
And it's really, really true.
It's amazing. Yeah. We have an amazing pediatrician.
Yeah.
And he's not our pediatrician anymore, which I cry about because we moved, we moved from the Northern Beaches in Sydney to the Southern Shire.
Right. Yep.
But anyway, this amazing pediatrician who was the first person that I spoke to about 21 gifts as well. And Maya was booked in for one of these tests, you know, very early on.
Yep.
And he put his foot down and he said, you know, why on earth are you going to go and do this? And I'm like, oh, you know, because we got called in to do it.
Mm.
And he was like, nah, you know, don't do it. Exactly like you lady said now, you know, they're going to point out all the worst. Nothing good is going to come out of it. So he's like, wait until school age. Then you do it, and even when you do, just remember it's not a picture of who your daughter is.
Oh my gosh! Well done, pediatrician. Yeah,
what an amazing pediatrician.
Because it's true, you don't need those numbers until you need the numbers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh. It was like, don't even look at look at it, forget it.
Yes,
you know,
it's really true.
Yeah, and it doesn't change the day you walk in to do the test and the day you come out with the results, it's the same child.
Yes.
So it doesn't actually.
And they don't care.
No, they don't care.
As in the child.
Yeah, yeah, the doctor does.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Mm.
I know.
Mm. Well, I'll be sending you all our love on Monday.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. And that's why I'm not nervous anymore because I know that there are people out there who get it. And I've just promised myself that. That doesn't fit. I don't know if I told you, but my professional background as well is actually in positive psychology.
Oh, well that you can tell.
You are. You're very positive. It's lovely talking to you.
Yes.
Yeah. So I went back to school 10 years ago to do a master's degree in coaching psychology.
Oh, amazing.
And and it focused, it was a deep dive into the science of positive psychology.
Right.
And I just loved it because it's, you know, it's an evidence-based study of what is great with people.
Yes.
You know, not what's wrong with us, not that, you know, traditional psychology, which is amazing, of course, but, you know, that focuses on how can we fix you, what's wrong, and, you know, you take it from there.
Yes.
But positive psychology looks at all the strengths and opportunities instead of the weaknesses and the challenges.
Mm.
So it's kind of, and it doesn't, it's not a happyology. You know, it doesn't ignore that life can be really hard and grief, sadness and everything is part of it.
Yep.
But it just focuses on all those resources that we have within.
Yep.
And then they look at how can we use those to live a flourishing life, no matter what our circumstances are.
Imagine teaching that in school.
Yeah, imagine teaching that in school.
It could change people's lives. Like, I just wish I had some of that. 10, 15 years ago, you know, it's sort of
and you know they're actually teaching that in schools now.
Yes, okay, so like resilience and
in Melbourne,
right? Are they? Tell me.
Yeah, so there's this whole new movement, and Victoria was actually the first state in Australia.
Oh, the one good thing we've done.
Exactly. No, so kids in school now are supposedly learning this in school, which is just fantastic. And what I'm trying to do is like I take that into 21 Gifts. So when I work with the hospitals and everything, that's the approach as well. Because there's been all this research done about that ripple effect of positive emotions and positive attitudes. And, you know, I kind of try to look at, you know, imagine if that's the bar we set, you know, in those early days of a diagnosis.
It just actually would change everything.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you had another daughter.
Yes. I have a two-year-old. Her name is Lola. And she is, yeah, and, you know, she pretty much is like her name. You know how you picture this little wildflower of a happy child?
Yes.
And that's what she's like. She is wild and funny and she just loves to play. You know, she's a nighttime party girl. Which
yes. How gorgeous.
It's just personality. You know, yeah. I think she's just, yeah, that's just who she is. She is so full of life that she literally needs to be taught how to relax and how to, you know, just take it in. But then she's got her sister, you know, she's got her older sister who will teach her that because, you know, Maya is all zen.
Yeah.
You know, she loves reading books. She loves listening to music. She's all about, you know, like giving hugs and all that. So it's really fun to watch them when they're playing because they're so different. But then they bring out like different sides of each other.
Oh, it's delightful.
Beautiful.
I've seen them in some of your Instagram, like in the pram and you've trapped them in the pram prison. So cute. Most twin mums know about the pram prison, I can tell you that. It was just such a relief.
Such a relief.
One in, elbow in the crotch, get in, strap in, next one, elbow down, in.
Go, you're free. We stayed in that pram till we were five.
I know, okay. You had used the pram for a long time.
And so the 21 gifts, who funds that? Do you fund that?
First started, it was completely self-funded.
Yes.
But then since then we've set up a GoFundMe.
Great.
Page.
Good. Great.
We've been getting donations,
Yep.
And then we've lately as well have had some amazing people jump on board to support us.
Good.
So I've got to tell you, because it's so beautiful. Like one of the things that's in this bag. Or in the suitcase, it's this beautiful little photography book and it's pictures of children with Down syndrome from all over Australia. And it's just divine. It's put together by a mom called Stephanie who lives down in New Wollongong and she runs another T21 community called Celebrate T21. And, you know, so she does these amazing books. So that's in there, which is just so beautiful because it's like, you know, it's like you look at them and you can't help get excited about the future
because
all these children. Just divine.
Yes.
And then we've got, you know, Mel.
Yeah.
Mel Dimmitt included some of her special books in it.
Beautiful.
So we've got some very lucky moms receiving that.
Oh, that book is just the best.
It's the most beautiful book.
It really is. The world needed it.
It did, and it keeps needing it. So go buy it. Everybody needs it.
Yes.
Yep, Special by Melanie Dimmitt. You know we've had her on here, but she's the book's amazing.
Yep.
So beautiful. And then we've got gifts for the kids. And we just had Marquee jump on board.
Oh,
you know, had
gorgeous.
A phone call from a lady there. I know. And she was like, we want to help you. We want to. Oh. You know. So that's just been amazing. So now they've come on board.
I feel like it's going to take off, Ingelise. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited for it because it just means, you know, the more people we have supporting it, it means we can push it out to more and more hospitals.
That's right.
And I've got to say, because it's, you know, even in New South Wales, there's like 80 hospitals with birthing, like with maternity wards. So there's a lot of hospitals that needs this.
Yes.
So how many have you given out?
40, didn't she say? 40 hospitals?
No, but how many
boxes? Suitcases have you done?
Now about, I think we're up to about 75.
Oh, amazing. Wow. Imagine when you crack 100.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah, I know. And it doesn't mean that... And it doesn't mean that 75 families have already received it because some of the hospitals, they ask for, you know, 5 suitcases because they say that, you know, within the year. And that's kind of our policy as well. And that's why we try to work so closely with the hospitals because we want to make sure that when a baby is born, it's not like they have to call us and get it. Like they've already got it there so that they can walk in, give the diagnosis with the suitcase so that it really balances, you know, it balances that picture of, you know, medical facts and, you know, what reality and the future may look like.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Well, I just want any peas that are listening, if you've got some extra money, I want you to go.
Yeah, to the GoFundMe that we put in the show notes. Follow the Instagram.
Yeah.
And then you'll find out what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it, peas. We've got some amazing people that listen to us. So
we really do. Yep. Lots of pea professionals that love helping out.
Yes, that's right. You might get a whole lot of others saying, we need the suitcases in our hospital.
I know that thing. Get in touch because, you know, I will send it to you free of charge, you know, literally tomorrow.
Oh, good on you.
Unbelievable.
So what is your dream for 21 Gifts then? Like, I know you said a little bit about before.
That every hospital in Australia and New Zealand partners with us. So that every single time a Down syndrome diagnosis is given, they hand out the suitcase along it.
Yes.
And then, but I think the ultimate dream is actually that 21 Gifts isn't even needed.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That we've done the work with the hospitals to make sure that they deliver the diagnosis in such a beautiful way anyway, that they don't need the physical prompt and the gift. And but you know, that's probably going to take a while, but I'm hoping, you know, like you said, imagine if we could have a suitcase for any diagnosis.
Honestly.
I know.
Hey, but that's the thing. You know how there's no competition in this?
No, there really isn't.
All working towards
the
same
thing.
It's beautiful.
That's right. It is beautiful.
It's the most supportive community ever.
It makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so proud of women. I'm proud of women like you.
Women.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah, but it's women.
I know, because women change the fucking world.
They do.
I'm telling you.
Yep. They do.
Oh,
because they see a need and they go, oh, we're just going to do it.
Yeah, women know what needs to be done for crying out loud.
Yep. And they're the ones that don't have
the
time.
Guys too, because some of our best 21 gifters, not best, you know, that's wrong. But, you know, we've got amazing male 21 gifters out there who have just, you know, run with it and they're the strongest advocates and are just, you know.
Good.
Mm. So that's and also, you know, Daniel, my husband.
Yes, beautiful man.
He was really the one who pushed, like, you know, I was working away behind the scenes and he kept going, now, you know, you're ready to launch into that.
Oh.
You're like, you've got to get on social media now. And
what
I was scared
man.
And I was like, oh, why can't we just do this and not tell anyone? And he's like, no, you've got to do
it.
But he's the one who made me do the video we did and, you know. Really
helped. Great job, Daniel.
Oh, well done, Daniel. You've got the P's.
Dan's the man.
Stamp of approval.
You do.
Yes. Yeah. Well, sometimes we need them to come in, get out of our own heads and say, come on, you know, you can do this.
Yeah. And this is a really valuable thing.
Really.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's so great.
So tell us a little bit about where Maya is up to now. Is she at kinder? What's her little life like?
Maya is in preschool.
Oh, yeah.
And she actually just started at the beginning of the year in a local mainstream preschool in the area where we live. And she loves it.
Oh.
I know. She's always gone to daycare. Like, she started daycare when she was 11 months old in the mainstream daycare. But she's never had any support before.
Right.
But this year, when we moved her to the local preschool, they just have this amazing arrangements where any child with, you know, any extra needs, they get their own support person there.
Perfect.
And it is making such a big difference. She's always loved school, but now she, like, you know, she loves it in capital letters. It's the best.
So is she going to big school next year?
Yeah, well, I'm actually trying to keep her back a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Because she's born, she's born late in the year.
Yes.
And, you know, she's still working on her language.
Yes.
I speak Norwegian with her as well. So she's born, well, she's got three languages because she's got English, Norwegian, and keyword silence.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Wow. That's a lot to listen to. To learn.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, you know, I think that she will thrive more in school if she can, you know, if we can give her an extra year. Just
absolutely.
Yeah, you never regret that.
No, we did that too.
Yeah.
Exactly. I look at my dad's philosophy and I just think, you know, keep her back.
Yes, yes.
Really,
just have another lovely year of playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know she's going to love school because she's just quite academic.
Yes.
In her ways. Like, she loves books. She's learning to read.
Amazing.
As we speak. She's very interested in letters and numbers and all that, and has been since she was probably about 2 years
old. Yes, yes.
So I just know that, you know, when she starts school, I just want her to be socially ready. So start, like, you know, I know what I'm doing here. I feel confident, you know, let's go, instead of feeling like, you know, she needs to kind of sit in the back of the room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great decision.
Yeah. You'll only get support from us.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that. So
you'll only get support from us anyway.
Yeah, you will.
So we're going to start to wrap this up, but I just want to ask, is there anything we've missed? Is there something you really want the world to know about your family, about Maya, about 21 Gifts?
No, I think just, you know, if any peers are listening and they're early on in their adventure, I just want them to know that everything is going to be okay.
Yes.
You know, they still have the power, you know, we still have the power to write our own stories.
Yes.
We just have to, you know, we just have to focus on, you know, what it is that we want. And it doesn't, you know, that changes so much because it's not about painting a very clear picture of the future, but it's more about just creating that, you know, how do we want to feel in 5 years, you know, and how, what do I need to do now to get to that point?
Yes.
So true. And enjoying the now.
Yes.
Enjoying the fun moments and not constantly,
be in the dread.
Yeah, just enjoy it. Because everybody every old lady you meet at the shops when you've got little babies, enjoy it, it's over before you know, enjoy it. And you all roll your eyes at them because you're like, I've had 2 hours sleep. But it's the same is true with children with disabilities or additional needs. Like, enjoy them.
Yes.
Oh, exactly. Just enjoy it and just soak up all those moments because they're just so special.
Yeah.
And I think we can learn so much. It's like, you know, I was listening to one of your episodes the other day and you were saying one of the silver lines coming out of COVID is that you've had the time to sit back with your kids.
Yes.
And just really work on that, like, you know, thinking, you know, where are they at? What are they thinking? You know, just in that moment.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so powerful when we can do that.
Yeah.
I feel like just even we have had, it will be 6 weeks of eating dinner every night together. Because with teenagers, you know, they're off doing this and that or we're busy with after school activities. We weren't eating dinner together. We hadn't probably for the last 2 years. So that's just something I've just actually stopped and told myself to just really appreciate.
Yeah, because it might not come back again.
No, it might not.
I really do think this will be the last time because my big kids are big.
Yes.
That we're all together in this house
like
we are
now. Yes, that's
right, Kate. Yeah. So, it's forced things on us that we didn't want, but it's also there's some really beautiful parts of it as well.
So maybe you're jealous up there in Sydney.
Maybe you are.
I know, I'm still clinging on to some of the things that we learned as well, you know, when we were in lockdown. And it's like you said, it's all about, like, for us, we live really close to the national park and it just made us use it so much.
Yes.
And even now when, you know, things are back to normal, we just, like, we've literally, I feel like we've just turned off the rest of the world and we're like, no, I'm sorry, we can't make it, we've got plans.
Yes.
And we just go into, you know, we just drive into the bush and just, you know, yeah, we just explore it with the children and it's just the most beautiful thing for them and for us.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like, you know, I've become a lot more relaxed and a lot more whole again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think we're all going to come out of it changed people. But
oh, for sure.
Maybe changed again for some of our P families.
Yeah.
Just to know how I don't want to say strong, but just how adaptable we are parents too.
Yeah.
And to be proud of that.
Oh, so proud.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like watching, and I think the rest of the country, like we're all watching, you know, we're all watching Victoria now and just thinking, you know, these people are heroes. Like you have,
Oh, don't make me cry.
No.
But it's true because what you're doing, because, you know, when it first hit, and we were all doing it together, you know, the whole country.
Yes, it was much easier.
It was the first time. And then you guys, you know, you went back there and that's so different. And I don't think that any of us can actually understand
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, scholarship completely cleaned out the fridge the other day, reordered everything. She's a 19-year-old girl in her first year of uni that's really social.
And she went to uni for one day.
She's been to uni for one day and she's organising the fridge. Like, I just can't be any more bored. It's just it's a strange reality.
Oh my gosh. Let's do our cry make a difference laugh now.
Do you want to join in on that
Inglis?
Okay.
All right. Well, did anything make you cry this week?
Yes, the fact that I can't go back to Europe because, like I said, my husband is there. I turned 40 2 weeks ago.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And for, you know, for 3 years, I've been planning this big birthday party in Spain. And, of course, it couldn't happen. So I cried because I don't know when I'm going to see my mom and dad and my sister and brother again.
Yep.
And I look at my little girls and I cry because I think, when are they going to be able to see them?
Yes.
Yep.
Because they change so much.
That's sad.
It's a big loss.
Yeah, big loss.
I don't understand that one.
No, that's sad. Yeah, I would cry about that too. What about you, Mandy?
I'll do mine last year.
Okay. So will come out after this event's happened, which I'm glad, but this is my saddest week of the year because it's Father's Day.
Yes.
And it's 4 years since my dad, I still can't talk about it, but anyway, and the anniversary is Friday. So I just hate it and I just am so flat and I can't sleep and I miss him more than I've missed anything. And so I will always cry. I've decided. I'll just always cry. So that's my sadness.
And just give yourself that
permission
every year for this week.
This is my week to cry and be sad and I'll just do it. Anyway, make a difference. Oh, you want to cry?
Oh, I'm just crying. Now, I talked about this last week about how two beautiful pea shoots have died this year.
Yes.
And so I went to a funeral on Monday. And it was a beautiful little girl called Amber. And I just want the world to remember her.
Yeah.
And so here in Melbourne, there was just like 10 people in there.
Yeah.
And but lots of people watching online. Mm. And I just want her mum, Jen, to know that she gave her the most beautiful send-off.
Mm.
And I just thought, what a woman.
What a woman.
And also how cruel that she couldn't have everyone around her.
Yes, it's not fair.
But it was the most beautiful, beautiful funeral and send-off for her precious daughter that I could ever be privileged to attend.
Oh, beautiful.
And I just want the world to know that.
Yeah.
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 And that she made an imprint on a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, of course. Every precious life
impacts
somebody.
Yes, so that was,
That's a heavy,
But it was beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, and she read the most beautiful poem about the loss of a child.
Oh.
And I thought, I would love the piece to hear it, but it's not something for me to read.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, for those of you that have had a child die, that is something that we don't know about.
No.
And someone has written to us about starting their own podcast,
haven't they? They have, people that have lost a child.
Yes,
yeah.
And so we will cheer
you on. And we said we will support you.
We will tell everyone about that because that is not something we can talk about.
No.
I just wanted to talk about that.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
And did anything make a difference in your life this week, Ingelise?
Yeah, I think talking to you, knowing that I was going to talk to you, made a difference.
Yeah,
it just made me realise, you know, how much has actually happened this year.
Yeah.
You know, you just do your thing and then suddenly you get a message from you ladies saying, you know, come on board and talk about what you did. And I was like, hold on, what did I do? And I, you know, I just took a moment to sit back and really think about
good.
What is happening in this space? And I just feel really, really grateful to be able to be part of hopefully making a change.
You are making a change. You should be proud.
Yeah, so proud.
Yeah.
Mine is not that interesting.
No.
Mine is the website called Windowswap.
Oh, yes. Someone
put it in chat 10. You can click on windowswap.com, I think, and up comes windows of all around the world.
Yeah.
And I've just been sitting there looking at a window in Iran, a window in, I don't know, England, a window in America.
It's beautiful.
And so I've been trying to, like, record my backyard with the kookaburras because I wanted to come up Mandy Melbourne kookaburras.
Yes.
And they keep flying away.
You need to set up a stealth camera.
I've got the stool there. I've got the laptop. I set it up. I press record and then someone goes, Mom.
Yeah.
If it ever happens, I'll be so bloody happy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Windowswap has been awesome. The other thing is I watched Indian Matchmakers on Netflix.
Oh.
It is, you have to go and watch this show. Oh. I could not stop watching. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I will.
It might not be for everyone.
No, that's all right.
But it's talking about there was two women, but one particular woman who is a matchmaker who gets Indian people together in marriages.
Yes.
So either in India or a lot of the people were in America.
Yep.
So fascinating. Could not stop watching.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the whole thing in like 2 days.
Oh, so my make a difference, I've got two. The first thing is that, well, it's friendship. Friendship is my make a difference, which sounds very vague, but my beautiful friend Lorraine walks with me most days and just getting out, going for a walk, having a talk, both of us getting out of our, you know, she's had to shut her business down, you know, that's been really nice. And then my friend Kate, who has a beautiful Japanese restaurant near here called Komuni, she's one of the funniest people ever. I just get this text from her last week, hey, I don't think there's bounty hunters in Australia. Do you want to become bounty hunters, you and me? I just thought.
Sure.
I was like, yep, I'll do it. She goes, of course, after lockdown. And I just thought, friends are the best. They, you know, one little text can change your day.
Totally.
So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yep, that was my make a difference.
What about laugh? Something made you laugh, Ingelise?
Oh, yes, so much. I've been watching Netflix as well.
Yes. Yep.
And I can't remember it now. Like, it's completely slipped my mind. But there's a Spanish show. I'm going to tell you so you can put it on.
Yeah.
There's a Spanish show, and for everyone who's a little bit bored or anything, like, it's hilarious. It's about a group of women living together in Madrid and, you know, about their lives. And it's just the best escape. It is hilarious. It's got that Spanish flair to it. That's made me laugh every single night this week.
Oh, good.
Oh,
that sounds like a winner. Yep, you send us the link and we'll pop that up.
I will.
Yep. All right. So
I laughed this week when Miss Nine said to me from her bed, because of course we don't really have to get up.
No.
I said, okay, I'll help make you some breakfast and you can have it in bed. She said, could you make me some toast and could you caramelize it?
Caramelized toast.
I think she just meant make it nice and brown. I just thought, what is going on in 2020? In 1985, I was not saying to my mum, could you caramelize the toast?
Oh, my mum was making fruit juice for
us. I know, honestly. It was so funny. Oh. And the other one that I hope the Chatterpeas will laugh at is that last night we watched Annabelle's show,
Back in Time.
And
back in time for dinner.
And Molly said, as I said, oh, that's Annabelle. I've met her. And she goes, she's kooky.
In the best way. We love her for it.
I said, yes, she is kooky, but we love her.
Yeah, and that's why we're so glad she's on TV.
I know. That made such a difference to us last night. We laughed. We were shocked. We all watched it.
Yeah.
It was such a great show.
Oh, awesome show.
And I can't wait for every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Millie was like, don't you dare put us in a show like that.
You're like, thanks for thinking anyone would want us.
I know. But she's like, she couldn't get over the 16-year-old being a part of it.
Yeah.
I said, this is amazing.
It is amazing.
Made me laugh a lot. Annabelle, kooky.
Yeah.
Says Molly.
Well, my laugh, I've had a few laughs this week, but I'll just share one. Because we're recording this a couple of weeks, it'll go out, but we had a incident in Melbourne where we had to boil water.
Yes.
And I went to the fridge on the weekend and I went to get a Diet Coke and there was none left.
Oh, no.
And I was like, there's no Diet Coke. And I just must have said it really loud. And Buzz just looks, he goes, no water, no Diet Coke, no friends allowed. That's it. I think Mum has finally lost her shit.
It was like the last straw.
It was it. I was like, what do you mean?
Someone wrote on the Melbourne Chatters, I've already been in stage six because I had no power and no water.
I know.
And I was like, that is stage six.
Yeah. I had friends that were, their power was out for 3 days.
Oh my
can't
gosh.
Even boil can't their even water.
Boil it. Here we were carrying on about boiling.
I know. It's just been the weirdest time.
Oh gosh.
Every time they were like, it's going to be windy today. And we're all like, no.
No.
I've never been so scared of the wind.
We are heightened in everything.
We are heightened. Yeah.
Because nothing's normal. And actually, because there's no traffic noise. You can hear a lot.
Yeah, and like, I've never heard so many birds
and helicopters.
Yeah, it's strange, weird. But anyway, it is weird.
So, right, thank you, Inglise.
Thank you.
What a beautiful episode. This is going to help a lot of peas. It is,
and
I know it.
Love talking to you. And before we go, we're going to say rate and review to our Acast supporters.
Thank you.
Make my day. You make Mandy's day. Oh, the little messages that you write. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Inglise.
Thank you.
See you. Bye.
Thanks. See you. Bye. To make you laugh. What actually made me laugh? I just forgot when you asked, because you know you go, oh,
yeah.
So Lola, who talks really, really well, she has started calling, you know, my parents a lot lately.
Yeah.
Oh. And my grandfather in Norwegian is called Bestefar. Like best dad.
Oh, Bestefar.
She can't say that. And so guess what she says?
What?
So funny. She calls him best fart.
We might be able to add that in.
Might be able to add that in because that's too funny.
That's fantastic. What does best fart think about that?
I know she brings my phone over and she's like, call best fart.
The peas are going to love that.
That is cute. That's cute.
So cute.
And they say goodnight to, you know, every night we look out the window, you know, to the trees and all that. And Maya and Lola say goodnight to the people they love. And so they go like, goodnight, best fart.
That is fantastic.
So good. Maybe the episode will actually end here now.
Yes, I think so.
Hopefully the sound engineer kept recording.
Oh, gorgeous.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.